There's only one job I'm after. There's only one, and I will not give in. And that's to coach the Crows.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what? He's got his hat.
This is The Bump, the one podcast SA footy fans need to hear, where the biggest names tackle the biggest South Australian footy stories. Roo, Limo, Dits, Bernie, Jars, Triple M's The Bump.
Oh, so much happening in the world of football. We need a new coach at one of the big clubs. We'll get to that in just a moment. The Crows, did they drop a game they should have won at home? Poor kicking once again. We'll ask Jars about their kicking efficiency. He's hot. He's all over it. Port Adelaide take on the Cats. Port Adelaide need to beat a top side. We keep talking about this. They've got to beat a top
Come
side.
Come on, Dits.
Hey, the AFL mid-season draft has upset the SRNFL. I want to ask you boys about that. And also, Adam Goods is in the news for all the wrong reasons, maybe. Although he might not see it that way.
No.
But a bit sad about his Hall of Fame rejection, if you like. Where do we start? Let's go with
Let's
the Crows.
Let's start with Jars' dress attire. Have you knocked off a bank or are you just freezing cold? You got gloves on. What sort of soft cop wears gloves?
And a hood. And you do look like a bank robber.
Where's your motorbike?
Being from Scotland in the Highlands there, Limo, I'm cold. I'm related to William Wallace and I get cold. It's cold outside.
You look like you've got some sort of skin disease or something. You're trying to protect yourself from the elements.
He's got burns.
This is how Michael Jackson used to dress when he went outside.
Oh, hang on. Anyway.
Sorry, Jazz.
No, it's all good.
Right,
now,
tell us about the Crows.
Well,
performance against Collingwood, should have won.
Jar's been strong on this.
Dits. Yeah.
Efficiency you keep talking about.
Well, I do. And I think it's so important that a midfield group uses the football with calmness and composure and have some class in there. Now, I love Lairdy, I love Keezy, I love Schoenberg and Sloaney. But if you're not over 85%, 90% disposal efficiency, you're not going to win too many games.
How many players in the comp are over that?
I'm only talking about the Adelaide Crows, all right? I'm just telling you about that. And Mick Noonan, one of the great coaches of in my era, said, and his philosophy was, if you can't kick, you can't play. Now, that not being disrespectful.
So Keezy shouldn't get a game?
Michael Noonan was coaching, a lot of these blokes wouldn't be playing
Nathan
in the midfield.
Would Nathan Fyfe play for Freo?
No, not at all.
Play forward.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Nathan Fyfe shouldn't be in the AFL?
If I had the Michael Noonan philosophy,
Is that
if
what
you can't kick, you
using,
can't play. Bottom line. That is a bottom line.
Kicking
so
efficiency.
Nathan Fyfe from now on will not play AFL football.
Probably not, because he can't hit a target.
Has he won two Brownlows?
He kicked another one goal, six on the weekend.
Like McGarry.
Schoenberg running at 50% on the weekend.
Schoenberg
apologised. I love the kid, but he's got his work on his field kicking. Yeah, but 50% he was running at.
Yeah, but that... Those stats are misleading.
Kicking efficiency is overrated.
No, it's not.
No, it's bullshit. There needs to be a new stat.
We don't have a skilled midfield side.
If you get it and chip it sideways, that's 100%.
That's exactly right.
It's not a gain for the team. You look at Collingwood stats. I bet you're all there. Kicking efficiency's right up, but they don't score.
Mate, what's the point?
I think you need to look at score involvements from kicking or something.
Yeah, but that
ball retention after
center,
a kick.
That's where you get score involvement. That's where your midfielder should be hitting your
forwards in all
45, forward to centre, inside forward 50.
Score involvement.
All we do is bomb, bomb, bomb. We're the bombers. Bomb, bomb, bomb. Keezy, bomb, 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 bomb. Bomb, 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 bomb. Lenny, bomb, 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 bomb.
Have you finished your episode?
It's a nightmare being a forward at the Adelaide Crows.
Charles had his tablets.
It's a nightmare.
Get his tablets, someone.
Jars, you're right. They're not kicking brilliantly. But at the end of the day, the Crows still had more scoring shots than Collingwood, and they should have won if they kicked accurately in front of goal.
Yes.
Jars, can I just add my little two cents?
Of course
worth,
you can.
Because I was calling the game.
Yeah.
I just want to mention one player in particular. So Rory Sloane, I remember about four times he got the ball, head down over the footy. He's being tackled and scragged by two blokes, threw it onto his left boot and got it forward.
Yeah.
That won't be an efficient kick.
No.
But he won the ball and he got it out and he's kicked it. So all of a sudden it's near the goal square. See, I think he's doing his job. That's good play. But no, he hasn't hit anyone on the chest. So his kicking efficiency won't be good.
And what did we say last week about this?
What did you say?
You said about this, and I said the Crows are looking to get better players in the midfield.
Yeah, you did say that, yes.
And I told you, your list manager, go and find me the players that we should target. Have you done your homework?
Not at all.
Josh Kelly, that sort of player.
But we're not going to afford Josh Kelly, are we?
Why?
No.
I beg your pardon?
Why?
Well, because we don't pay overs. That's the DNA since Bob Hammond and Bill Sanders.
Kicking efficiency, though, is that a bit overrated?
That, can I give you a stat on that?
You explain, Bern.
I just think if you go long to a 50-50, yeah, that counts as that's an efficient disposal. So if you just bang it long. So the Crows actually, that's probably above what they should be because they go long a lot to a contest. So that's a tick. And then you look at Collingwood, a team that just retains the ball. Geelong, another one that chips sideways. All their defenders, they'll be going at nearly 100%. Yeah. But are they scoring? Collingwood aren't.
So I didn't know that. If you kick to a contest 50-50, your teammate doesn't have to mark the ball.
No.
I didn't realise that.
Contest. It's not a bad kick.
No. Okay.
No, so some would be inflated, these percentages, but others would be deflated. They should be up a little bit higher. And that's why I don't like the stat, because it's easy to chip it sideways and get 100% efficiency.
If you go to champion data, kicking efficiency is a good guide, but it can be misleading.
Yes.
When really judging how good a ball can be used. Kick rating is the best measure to assess individuals because it takes into account the degree of difficulty with each kick.
Like this.
The player is trying to pull off, looking at how much pressure is on the kicker, the intent of the kick. Where kicking efficiency doesn't do this.
Well, so what's the kick rating of some
I've
of these
got
players?
All the kick ratings there. You can have a look at them afterwards. But it does show, to back up Jarz's stat, because I'm not saying he's wrong with the Crows, it says that...
What's Ben Keyes' kicking rating compared to his
Ben
efficiency?
Keyes is in the negatives. Rory Sloan, Ben Keyes and Rory Laird are in the negatives
there
for kicking, which no one's disagreed with. But the Crows need to get some more... But
any who's in the positive that would surprise us? Can you? Is it too hard
to... Well, I'll give you some of the negatives that are the names. Lachie Neal, Patrick Cripps, Sean Higgins, Paddy Dangerfield, Christian Petracca, Jack Viney, Oliver, Wines, Dersma. They're all names that are in the negatives.
Does that suggest they're kicking under pressure?
It does.
This is Bernie's point. They win the ball.
When you're a midfielder and you're an inside mid, half the time you do get a kick is a hat kick because you're in an under. What the Crows need to add is some skillful outside players to complement those players.
Mm. I was always a skillful mid myself. I was always in the positives through
Here
my
we
career.
Go.
Brew, question for you. Rory Laird, how does he go with authority? Does he take instruction well?
Yeah, I would have thought so. He's a small man, so they usually do.
I'm his former mentor.
Well, why is that, mate?
Well, because he completely ignored the advice of the chief medical officer last week when she said this.
Duck and just do not touch that ball.
He had 40 bloody possessions. That is a middle finger to the chief health officer right there.
You can't play.
That is. He's told her to get stuff 40 times on the weekend. That is very rude. What happened on the weekend, Roo? Were there people dressed in big hazmat suits walking in with giant tongs to clean
the women that had the oven mitts on? That was funny.
Yeah. Everyone was on edge at the ground about masks and everything on the weekend. But anyway, they got through it. No one got the virus.
All right. But just quickly there, did you know how Port sing Never Tear Us Apart?
Yeah.
I know that the Crows are currently toying with a new song. Can't touch this.
Dart that ball.
We're going to perhaps go with this from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Hit me, you can hurt me. Talk my kid. Or maybe this from Van Halen. Well, my personal, I think the Crows should settle on this one from the Angels. But the sky began to fall. Am I ever
gonna mug that ball again? Yeah. Nice harmony, Leo.
Send that to Gleeso.
There we go. And a shout out to Collingwood as well, who, when they sang the club song post match, embraced what had been going on during the week.
It's a great song.
Very good work, Limo.
Great stuff, Limo. All right, let's talk Port Adelaide taking on the Cats. We all know, stating the obvious, Port Adelaide have to beat a good side. Can they beat Geelong? Will they beat Geelong?
They can, but you wouldn't want your last 20 on it, I don't think.
Just going, Port, aren't they? This is the team they need to beat, though. This would change, I reckon, a lot of people's thoughts. But they haven't been convincing. I want to be convinced by Port because I picked them to be in the grand final and I want to stick with that. But
so do I, early. But
I just need them to. I need them to win this weekend.
What's
this
lacking, Byrne? I've got my views as a little supporter, well, but what's lacking?
They've had one good start in probably this whole season, which was last round. Their starts have been poor, but the big knock on them is their contested footy and clearance in the big games when they've played, when they've been challenged.
Mm.
They don't. They just.
And then the number one contested side in the comp. By stats, against, but they don't get it against good swords.
But why is that?
Maybe they freeze.
Is it in big moments or big games?
Maybe they don't. I don't know.
Well, there's only, you know, we keep knocking. I don't want to knock them again. I want them to win this weekend and play well and convince me again that they're a top two team, which is basically need to be to make the grand final.
Yep. The Cats have had a rubbish lead up there, haven't they? Have they been in isolation? Serious question. Yes. The players?
Yes, absolutely.
So if ever you've got a chance to get one on the Cats, it's this week because their preparations have been dodgy.
Didn't hurt Collingwood.
Mm. I did notice Paddy, they had to play the Crows though. So.
Oh, that's right.
I noticed Paddy Dangerfield tweeted this morning, he goes, here's me walking down Rundle Mall. And it was a scene from The Simpsons where Bart was in a bubble walking down the street.
The Victorians aren't happy at all with the restrictions that the SA government put on them. But
I think it's funny.
Huh?
I think it's funny.
That their restrictions are harder than
ours. Annoy them. Anything that can annoy them. They've been walking all over us for years,
they've done
it
so well over there with the coronavirus. Yeah. They should be telling us what to do,
contact tracing's been elite.
What a bloody mess. Well, but Geelong isn't even in lockdown. Geelong hasn't been in lockdown.
No,
the regional Victoria.
We've got a few schoolboys in the side. I want hard bodies in there.
So who do you want out?
Any changes coming?
No, I named them all last week. I don't want anyone Marshall. Out. I said you can't have too many of those in the same side.
I think Marshall. I doubt whether he gets picked this week.
How many are coming back?
I don't think Marshall.
Well, they're not going to have many changes. They're not going to have too
He'll
many
play.
Changes.
Who have they got to come back this week? Is there anyone back fit?
Lysett. When's he back next week?
One more week.
Yep. I think when Lysett comes back, Marshall probably goes out. That's unless
play
he
two
has,
rucks.
Yep.
So Latham stays in.
Yeah, that Charlie experiment in the middle just every now and then.
Just that just gets.
But you can't go with two rucks on Thursday night footy where it's going to be wet and dewy.
Why not?
You need ground soldiers. You need more run and carry.
You need a target up forward too. If they go to Dixon all the time, which they have been, it hasn't been working, Juz. So they need someone else up there.
Yeah. I want to talk about this mid-season draft. I thought Graham Corns wrote a very good article about this on Sunday where he said, surely AFL clubs have got enough time for the pre-season draft and the build-up to pick who you want. Oh, and his second point was, it was meant to be to help clubs out that have been decimated by injury, and that's not what they're doing.
No. Well, not the Crows.
They're picking up an extra midfielder, or they're picking up, you know, just anyone they want. And see, the other thing you've got to look at too is if you're a young boy like McEntee from Sturt, whatever, great opportunity. You're getting a chance to play AFL. You should never, ever nip that in the bud. No. But pick him pre-season. If you know he's up to it, he's good enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought Cornsy made a couple of good points.
Yeah, I tend to agree with all of that too. It's porous NFL clubs who... They can't go and get another ruckman or another player now that he's picked out. They're stuffed for the year. It handicaps the coach, the other players. So I can totally see the SANFL side of it. And then you can also see the positive of the player getting a game and going on to be a career player. And maybe those clubs wouldn't pick a John Noble from Collingwood at the end of the year. Maybe they'd just go with kids. I don't know. But, yeah, I do feel for the SANFL clubs.
What about one other comment I saw? A letter I saw online from a fan saying, how about the rule should be, maybe it was Cornley, but you only get the player from your own reserves or your own, you know, backup list. So Port, for example, should have taken a Cam Sutcliffe or someone like that out of your own extended squads.
Yep. Yeah, or even just in the AFL, or in just from AFL lists, and you trade them.
Yeah.
It's a tough one because like the Sturt Footy Club lost two of their best players.
Yeah.
And now their finals hopes were they're not in the top five, but their hopes are dashed now. They lost their centre forward and a key midfielder.
Nord's lost their key forward.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's making, what it does, it makes a mockery of the SANFL. It makes it like a bit of a joke sort of.
Which they don't, they hate.
They hate it. So, I
do it pre-season.
Put more pressure on the recruiters to get the list right, the list management. I know you can't predict injuries and they happen, but Get, mate, put the pressure on the recruiters.
Because it's, what happens is when you have your mid-season draft, if you can go and get a ruckman in the mid-season draft, you won't pick one up at the end of the year. You won't have your second or third ruckman on your list because you don't need to carry that spot if you can go and get one in the middle of the year if you have an injury.
But
so,
let's say if it was an extreme case. Let's say, you know, our ruckman broke his leg. We need a ruckman. Okay, that's a legitimate case.
Yeah, but you should have an extra ruckman on your list anyway.
Let's say you're not. You're short.
You have three ruck injuries.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yep. So there's an extreme case. Yeah, okay, such and such a club, go and get that bloke you want. But for the sake of, let's just grab another midfielder and top up. Yeah. Well, that's wrong.
Well, that's exactly what a lot of clubs are doing.
Yeah. Huge breaking news this morning in the world of AFL boys. Nathan Buckley has stood down as Collingwood coach. What's your reaction?
Burn? I'm surprised. I'm a bit surprised that he's done it now and at this stage of the year. But I could understand why he's done it. If he doesn't think he's going to be there next year, or more importantly, he doesn't want to be there next year, or if he thinks they need a change. Obviously, he's been thinking about it for a while.
He lost his security blanket when Eddie McGuire stood down, didn't he, as a senior coach?
Yeah, he did, because they were close. But at the same time, if he's still the best man for the job, doesn't matter if Eddie's there or not. And everyone's got an opinion on whether he's the right bloke or isn't.
Yeah, I think it's off the back. I reckon because the players actually really like Buckley.
Do they?
Yeah, they're close. The players I've spoken to, and they, I reckon, and he was keen to go on. I think a conversation's must have
been told.
I reckon a conversation must have happened because he was, and you've seen him in the media. I know he's not going to say, I don't want to coach in the media, but he's saying, nah, look, I'm sticking with it. And he could have got out a number of times, but this is, I just feel like it's off the back of a conversation where they couldn't guarantee that he'll be there next year, and coaches don't like hearing that.
That's really interesting. If you've said that you know the players like him, okay, because there's been a bit of talk about that over the journey too,
hasn't there?
With Trelaw going to the Western Bulldogs. But just on the back of that then, they are playing awful football.
Yeah.
No matter which way you look at it, they are terrible, underachieving and not scoring. Now, is that his coaching?
Absolutely.
Well, that's his game plan.
Absolutely it is. Yeah, he's not encouraging attacking footy at all, is he?
Well, they took the game on the weekend.
When I say underachieving, one game that sticks out to me, because I watched it, was when they played Port Adelaide. Mm. They were that much the better side on the day, but didn't score goals. Mm. They had Port Adelaide on. Port couldn't touch the ball, but they didn't go forward and kick goals. That's where I say underachieving, right?
Yeah.
Only one game.
Yeah, no, they're certainly nowhere near their best at the moment.
So, Rupert, why now? Why now? They're saying that the Queen's birthday game will be his last game as senior coach.
Now, what about his record? How do you see his time at Collingwood, boys?
Well, he took over after Mick Mulhouse finished
2012.
So they won a premiership in 2010. They were favourites in 2011 when Geelong knocked them off, and then he took over then. So it's a tough gig to take after making two grand finals. Is anything less than that's a bit of a failure. But in 2018, one kick away from winning a premiership. In the next year, a kick away from another grand final, which they just went down to the Giants. I think he's been pretty successful. A lot of pressure in a big club like Collingwood, and I think he's done an outstanding job.
Well, I'll just run through the 2012 he started, 16 wins, 6 losses. Next year, 2013, 14-8, then 11-11, then 10-12, then 9-13, then 9-12. So when he took over, it kept going down.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean he's a bad coach, because it might have meant he took over at the wrong time as well.
Well, they're coming off a two grand finals, a premiership, one of them a premiership.
Your window can open and close depending on your age of your players and what happens. But and then he gets them back up again after that review that they had, strong review. And then they, 2018, as you said, 15-7, get to a granny. 2019, 15-7, a kick from a granny. And then they've gone downhill since there. So he's had a couple of chances at winning them and hasn't quite got to the top. But that doesn't mean you're not a good coach.
No, you
need a luck in September to win premierships. You can do everything right and not win them, and you can do a lot of things wrong and sometimes get it right in September, like the Crows in 97-98. We weren't the best side, but we won them then. We had better sides at other times, but no luck in September.
St. Kilda,
I reckon 2009-10. I would rate him as a 7 or 8 out of 10 coach that didn't have
very good
luck.
Unbelievable to turn that around so quickly after premiership in 10, grand final 11, to get back up and be in the top four again in 17, 18, 19. That's a pretty quick turnaround. You see clubs really bottom out before they have to get another crack at it. So done pretty well.
He might have a spell and come back in a couple of years or a year if he wants to.
Mm. You're judged on premierships, aren't you, as a senior coach?
Not necessarily. Because, again, what if you've got the worst list in the comp? Mm. You know, it doesn't mean you're not a genius, eh? You can't just turn it around.
And if Don Sheed slightly misses it, he's a premiership coach. Does that change him at all? Does
it does. It absolutely does.
Oh, come on, Jack.
Yes, it does.
It does.
It does, Roo.
No, but it doesn't make Nathan Buckley a different coach.
No, but it changes your resume.
It puts you into another level. It doesn't make you any different.
It takes you to another level, away. No one to know you.
Yeah, well, if the umpire... No, it doesn't make you any different player, though, does it?
No, we're not talking about player. No, we're talking about a senior coach. It takes him to another level if he wins a premiership.
No, but that's only on paper. There's a lot of bad sayings in football, and that's one of them. It's like Bob Skilton never played in a final. But what, you were telling me he couldn't play?
Yeah, exactly.
You're telling me he was no good. Because there are people in this world that say, oh, Skilton never won a premiership. Mm. Well, he's one player. Mm. And a coach is one person in that organisation.
It gives you a better resume, if you are a premiership
and you
coach.
Get re-signed.
It doesn't mean you're a better coach. If Dom Sheed kicks it or couldn't, Buckley didn't have any impact on it.
If they win the grand final in 18, do you think we're having this conversation about Buckley leaving?
No, I don't think. Well, maybe
so
we are.
So then you're contradicting yourself.
You're missing my point.
We all know a premiership coach will get re-signed and probably for 3 or 4 more years.
That's what I've been saying is good.
Doesn't mean they're a better or a worse coach. Bob Skilton example, cannot say, oh, that person's never won a premiership.
Bob Skilton won 3 Brownlows. He puts him right in there as one of the all-time greats.
But didn't play a final. So is that his fault, is it?
No, not at all. Not at all. But Nathan Buckley was, like you said, one kick away from being a great coach.
But you put him down as a great coach because he becomes
a
premiership coach.
To win a premiership. Alistair Clarkson has won, what, 3?
4.
Damien Hardwick, prior to that, there was doubts about his.
Big doubts.
And now he's a four-time. He's saying he's one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Bomber Thompson at Geelong was gone.
Wasn't he? Out the door.
But we've just proved the point again, though. If you win a premiership, you'll get re-signed and you'll stay for longer. Malcolm Blight got the Crows over the line twice, right? But what happened with him at St Kilda? So is he a lesser coach all of a sudden?
Not at all.
Right.
But Malcolm Blight winning those 2 flags put him in another... Yes. Atmosphere or another world of...
Category,
yeah, that's the word. Who steps in? Is it Robert Harvey?
We've just had word come through, in fact, as we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry to cut you off, Charles. Robert Harvey, according to Mark Stevens, will be the coach for the rest of the year.
Okay.
Yep. Let's look at who it is after that. Who coaches next?
Well, Robert Harvey would be a contender. His name's been bandied around for all the other coaches.
Yeah, but Roo, is he ready to be an AFL coach?
Well, he's been in the system
long enough.
Probably
the more relevant question, is he good enough?
He's gone for a lot of jobs and been knocked back, so that's a bit of a reflection. But look, it takes a while.
They're going to say Ross Lyon dits, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're going to throw his name out there.
I think they'll say Clarko too.
You're right.
They might even throw Paul Russo. Who knows what Russo's thinking? Mm. He might be sick of being in the wilderness.
Yeah. If you're the Collingwood Football Club right now, they think, and maybe they are, the biggest, most powerful football club in the land, I reckon you spend everything you've got to pick the best person in Australia. Now, who is that number one person? I think it's Alistair Clarkson. And if you're Collingwood, you throw everything you've got at him to get him.
Is it Alistair Clarkson, though?
On his record, it is. He's been pretty good.
Pretty good in an era where he had good players. Is it Damien Hardwick's record's better, isn't it?
I'll tell you why I like Alistair Clarkson.
Or just as good?
He's made really, really tough decisions. You say he's had good players. Mm. He's amazingly gone to people like Sam Mitchell and said, mate, go now because I want to look at the next players coming through. No other club in the land has done it.
I know, but
that I can remember.
You can make a case for that being too ruthless as well and destructive to the football.
No,
club.
It hasn't, though.
No,
the players that leave there are happy for that conversation.
Like, go and speak to Jared Ruffhead and see how happy he is.
All the bullshit you go on with in football, you blokes, is the club bigger than the individual? Alistair Clarkson is fantastic.
I can only speak on behalf of Jordan Lewis, who came to the Melbourne Footy Club when I was there. And that prolonged his career because he could have finished maybe that next year. And Clarko had that conversation.
Clarko?
Yes, they get on really well. I'm serious. And he...
Yeah, but Roo, what does that matter? We're talking about big football clubs.
I'm not saying it's always the case, but to get rid of Hodge and the way they did, I understand the club's bigger than the player. I'm all for that. But there's also a way to go about it as well. And I'm not...
All right, the coach at the football club that I follow, promised Matthew Lobe 1 year. I promised I'd never ever trade him. Matthew Lobe didn't play a game that year, and Richmond wanted him, and it tied up $500,000.
Yeah, well, that's a stupid decision.
That's emotion in a football club.
Yeah, that's the wrong decision.
That's right. So I think what Clarko does is bloody good. And I'll say it again. If he Collingwood...
How's it helped Hawthorn at the moment?
No, not right now it hasn't, but it did for quite a few years.
Oh, they played finals for a while after that.
Clarko's is your Mitchell top two.
They went boing, boing, boing.
Clarko's your top two because he knows how to build. And are they a rebuild now, that current list, the Collingwood current list? And they still got to clean some boys out because of the salary cap. I actually reckon they're a good team in a couple of years.
Right, there you go. Their key players are out. Elliot came back for the first time the weekend. Look,
been stiff with injuries. On the weekend, that young Bianco and Dacos, they're only two players.
And then Dacos' other son's going to get drafted.
Well, he's probably number one.
Yep.
Mm. Well, so, yeah, I'm with this. I think Clarko, absolutely. I think Paul Ruse, you've got to have a conversation with, because if he likes it, and you know Ruse better than... Would he be interested? Because now he's at North Melbourne as a consultant.
I don't think he's put his coaching career to bed yet. Nah. And he's always in the conversation, especially when there's big dollars around. Rosie will listen to the conversation.
And what about Donald Pike, who got shafted and sacked by the Adelaide Crows? Is he an opportunity? Could he get an opportunity?
Depends if he wants to go in the microscope. That Collingwood Football Club is not for the faint-hearted.
No, I don't think it's for Pikey.
It's absolutely brutal.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what? A bloke who I think has got the nuts to do it and is brutal as well is Ross Lyon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he can put up with that level of scrutiny and pressure from the membership.
Do you rate him?
Yes and no. I always found he was too negative as well. I'll answer this by saying to you, Roo, when they had Milne, Kaczynski, Revolt, and an attacking forward line like that, people like that, they're kicking 5 goals a week.
They're a bounce of the ball away from a premiership, though, weren't they?
But they didn't, because he didn't
Fremantle
score goals.
Again. He got them to a grand final as well. Lost to Hawthorn.
That was lost inaccurate kicking, too.
15 points, and they all kick points early.
I like the way he talks. When you hear him speak, he's great. And he might have learned from those experiences. Yeah, you've got to go forward and kick goals.
You know what the players say about Ross Lyon? They absolutely love him. Those St Kilda players, the Fremantle players, they love Ross Lyon because he's a coach, a bit of an old school coach, as we know, but as long as you trained hard and played hard, he'd let you do whatever you want on the weekend.
Yep.
And players respect that because we're in such a bubble now that there's all these rules on what they can and can't do. And he was one of those guys that would actually join in and they all catch up still.
Selfless decision by Nathan Buckley.
So they'll get everyone who want to coach Collingwood. They'll get anyone who's available.
Yeah. Mm. You've got to kick goals, Roo, like Williston did on the weekend. 31 goals they kicked.
Wow.
That's what you've got to do.
What happened?
That's coaching. 31 goals.
How many quarters did you play?
We played four.
31 goals, 32.
What?
That's inaccurate.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I could put a resume in.
From Williston to Collingwood. That's like when we sacked the Crows. I can't remember which coach it was. I think Sando.
You've sacked that many,
right? No, moved on. I sat next to Akamanis at the... I better not say this.
Be careful.
What did he want to go?
Be careful.
What, the toe wedge?
He won't mind me saying it. But I sat next to him at the Brownlow and he said, Roo, I just need an hour. Just give us an hour with the board. I'm your man. I can do it. He wanted to go from Albury to Crows coach. And I said, I can't remember who I had with me as my date. It wasn't my wife. No. But I said, how do you reckon that'd go? We've just sacked Sando and we're putting in Acker.
Anyway.
All right. I want to ask you all about Adam Goods. How did you see his decision to reject his induction into the Hall of Fame? Jars.
Well, I actually respect what he's doing, and he's still hurt from being booed out of the game. But I think we were sensitive to it yesterday, weren't we, on the rush hour, that we respect his decision. And he obviously is not comfortable with it. Will he ever be comfortable with it? Will things change in terms of what happened to him? But the question I want to ask is, why was he booed out of the game?
He was booed.
Why was he booed out of the game?
He was booed by a lot of people because, A, he was a good player, but, B, he was faking for free kicks and stuff at the time.
Well, I don't agree with that.
No, wasn't it his stance about Australia Day?
There you go.
Yeah, it was.
That's exactly
right. He's now angry at the way he's been treated.
Correct.
Because he feels he's done the right thing by his people on Australia Day. If you remember, he called it should be Invasion Day. Mm.
I think he was booed out of the game.
Correct.
Of that.
Was that still when he was playing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like a landmark.
Yeah, that's when he was playing. He was. Yeah, I agree. He was booed out of the game because he was outspoken on issues that he was passionate about, and the
crowd
fans
didn't like it.
And they really didn't, yeah. unfairly disagreed with him and bullied him, in my opinion.
He spoke out booing on behalf of a lot of his people, yeah. and I respect that big time. And if he's still not happy, well, it was disgraceful the way every time he touched a footy, he's getting booed from a champion of our game. Shocking. I just think it was
so in response, he feels the AFL hasn't done enough since to probably haven't sort of dragged him in, but you know what I mean, invited him in and said, Adam, none of that should have happened. Yeah. We're on your side. I think he feels he hasn't really had the necessary...
They gave him a token apology. Yeah,
and some are saying he's being selfish again for not accepting the Hall of Fame
induction.
I
think they're the same people that were probably booing him.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They're saying that... And should he just be given it? Like, just even though he doesn't have to attend...
No, he doesn't want it. He's refusing
it. But would it be nice if he just said, you know what, just send it and I'll accept it, but I'm not going to attend.
But he doesn't want... He's making a point of it, I think. That's the problem.
The fact is, he's been invited to be into the Hall of Fame. That means he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he is.
So the rest of us, we go, he was a Hall of Famer, but he knocked it back. Yeah. In other words, he was good enough, his career warrants it, so we all know it, and we'll always think of him as the great player he was.
You know, when he did say invasion, I remember thinking at the time, that's ridiculous, you know, celebrate Australia and all that, and I was that naive myself not to understand what the reason why he was doing it, and because he's done that and because of us having Indigenous around and stuff like, you go out of your way to learn a lot more about it. Now I can totally understand why they do think it's Invasion Day. Mm. Whereas, you know, 10 years ago, whenever that was, I thought it was sort of half-silly
that's
that
what
he
hurt
did
him
that
therefore,
speech.
You could argue he has helped all of us understand.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I said that on the Rush Hour yesterday. I said he's educated us. He's educated. Yeah. He's made us stand. He's made us learn, hasn't he? He's forced you to learn, forced me to learn. And now we understand. But people... Other Indigenous players are calling out racism now. I didn't even realise. I sort of knew it was there, but I didn't realise the depth of it.
Yeah.
But they cop it every single day, these people. And it's open to my eyes. I think it's better for society.
But a majority of Australians haven't forgiven him for that speech on Australia.
No, they're the booers, though, Jazz, aren't they?
Pardon?
They're the people that are booing because they don't want to believe it. But sometimes you have to do things like that to make a point.
Yep.
Andrew McLeod, what he did last year with the Adelaide Football Club. I had to make a point for change. It's the same sort of thing, but I respect Goodsy. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. As I said, we all know that he basically is or could be a Hall of Famer, but he's chosen not to be.
Just one little thing, Ditz. I said to you the other day about Gilbert McKenna was on Friday Night Football on Triple M. If you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to Gilbert McKenna on Friday Night Football. It was a great chat. I was enthralled listening to it. He just talked about how absolutely rapt the Indigenous players of his era are about what the AFL's done for the game, the opportunities they're getting now, how much different it is for Indigenous players now compared to when he was an 18-year-old kid out at Central Districts. The way the game's changed from when Sid Jackson played, as you said the other day, to any Indigenous player of the time. We know they were racially abused and treated like absolute dog shit there at times, and now they are absolutely revered about what they bring to the game, and we do everything we possibly can to make them fit in. That is the good side of the story as well. So listen to Gilbert McAdam on Friday Night Footy if you want to go and listen to a great chat.
All right, let's talk a bit more footy. Just to wrap things up, Carlton, where are they heading this review that is about to take place? What is going to happen there?
Well, I don't know what's happening at the Carlton Footy Club.
So John Barker's already walked out,
he's
one
already
of the coaches.
Is this a question for you? Is this an external review?
Yeah.
External people are coming in.
External. Okay. So does that mean everyone is under review?
Yeah.
Like, well, it should
CEO
be like that.
No,
it's football. It's football department.
Mid-year.
Then why are you getting someone external to do it?
What do you mean?
You've got a CEO. You've got all sorts.
Yeah, but if you get an external person, then I think the perception is that they haven't got any
preconceived ideas.
Well, what's your point, Limo?
I'd be nervous if I was the CEO. Externally and doing a review. If I was the CEO, I'd be edgy about that.
Everyone would be a bit edgy, wouldn't
they? So David Teague needs to be watching his back, eh?
So I think everyone needs to watch their back.
I think it's,
When the Adelaide Crows did their review, was that internal or external?
External.
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 Okay.
That That was the one headed, what was it, headed by Jason Dunstall? But he was part of it.
Pavlich Dunstall.
Yeah. Were you interviewed?
Yeah. It was a full footy department.
You survived?
Yeah, do you know what?
It cost me a couple.
He said, I'll listen to your feedback. I'm not doing any of it.
I said, Jase.
How did you survive?
Hey, bungle, when he head back over the border.
You know why? Yeah. He just recruited all his mates to do the external review.
Don't go there. He'll build your front teeth.
Oh.
I'll end up like sodas.
What happened to fights?
All right, enjoy your week at the footy. We'll see you next week on The Bump.